Sunday, I shared a message about encouraging one another daily. And you know, one of the biggest ways that we do that is by having something encouraging to say. I mean, that's probably the number one way that we do that. But I want to tell you one of the most powerful things, one of the most encouraging things that you could ever say to somebody: I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. Four simple but powerful words. I want to start something tonight. I'm serious. I want to start something. Well, let me just put it a different way. I think the Lord wants to start something tonight. That we are a people that pray, but we pray for one another, and we even let each other know, I'm praying for you. I'm telling you, there's something to this, and we're going to see it in the Word of God tonight. You know, to know that someone is talking to the Lord about your situation, whatever problem we might be facing, somebody's bringing God into the equation. That's a wonderful thing. When you know that somebody is talking to the Lord about what you're dealing with, what your battle is, what a blessing. You know, I've talked about this a number of times, but it's just so real for me. It's an ongoing thing. It happened today. When I am preparing to preach and I struggle and I have a hard time, my wife always says, I'm praying for you. And it's not a little trite thing like, oh, that's nice, darling. I'm like, yes, yes, keep praying for me. And I want you to know, you see, we all need that in some way, in some area of our life. My mother, before she passed from this life years ago, when I was pastoring a small church in a rural area, and you know, I didn't feel very successful, she would write me cards almost every day. She would write me a card telling me, you know, how blessed I was and telling me that she was praying for me. We all need that. It doesn't get old either, I'm just telling you. We need a whole lot more of that in the body of Christ. And I just feel really blessed now. There's some of you that tell me frequently, I'm praying for you. Or I'll get a text from you, I'm praying for you. I love that. You know what? We need to do a whole lot more of that. We all need to know that we've got brothers and sisters that are praying for us. We need to let people know. You're letting them know that you care about them and that you're lifting their name before the Lord. What a powerful thing. You know, I got to tell you, I've talked about this issue a few times over the years, but I believe this is one of those things that we just need to hear again to stir it up. And, you know, the Apostle Paul, he mentions his prayers for the people that he writes to. He does it many, many times. In fact, just in the book of Ephesians alone, he does it like three times where he talks about praying for them. And we just need to know that this is unselfish, you see, when you say, I'm praying for you. Well, it better be. I hope you're not doing it for some selfish ulterior motive, right? But it's something that we do for somebody else just simply because we care and we want to see God move and work in their life. Amen. Oh, but we shouldn't tell anybody that we're praying or, you know, we already have our reward. Listen, it's all about the heart. Jesus said we shouldn't pray in front of people to be seen by people, to try to look good in the eyes of people. He says you go into your prayer closet. He wasn't saying that we can't ever pray together or have a prayer meeting. And he wasn't saying that we should never tell somebody we prayed for them. Now, if you're going to do that because you want to look good or you want some spiritual brownie points with people, you don't get them with God, but, you know, you might try to get spiritual brownie points with people by telling you prayed for. Well, yeah, you've already got your reward. But if we are sincere in letting those people know, I prayed for you to encourage them, that's a good thing. And I want to tell you, the Apostle Paul did it again and again in his letters. You know, sometimes you just got to let people know, hey, you're not alone. There's somebody else fighting for you. Here's one example of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 3, 14 through 16. He says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. What a powerful prayer he prays for these people. And it's recorded in scripture. So I believe that it was divinely inspired. I don't think it's in the scripture just, you know, some guy blurting out some silly prayer. No, I think that this was recorded in scripture because we can learn a lot from this. Number one, that we pray for people. Number two, sometimes it's okay to tell them, hey, I prayed for you. And number three, sometimes you even need to tell them what you prayed for them. That just makes it that much more of a blessing sometimes when somebody tells you, I prayed for you about this, or I prayed this for you. This is a prayer, by the way. If you know somebody that's going through a great struggle, pray that the Holy Spirit will strengthen them in the inner man. They need that. I mean, when you're strong on the inside, you can go through just about anything. But when you're struggling with, you know, a wounded spirit, the Bible says, who can bear? So, yeah, that's a powerful prayer we can pray, just like the Apostle Paul did. And we need to pray that. But, you know, Paul said, follow my example as I follow the Lord. And you need to know that he was following Jesus' example when he told people, I'm praying for you. Jesus did it. Jesus is always the best example, right? He's the one that we follow. Amen. So, when Simon Peter was about to go through his greatest battle, listen to what Jesus says to him. It's Luke 22, 31 through 34. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, not Peter. He's not calling him Peter. Not this night. Indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have spared you, I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. And then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you deny three times that you know me. Every one of us knows somebody that Satan is trying to destroy. Well, you do. You know a lot of people Satan is trying to destroy, whether you know it or not, he is. People that you know, Satan is trying to destroy them. And sometimes it's not just the drug addict. This is one of Jesus' disciples. Satan is trying to destroy him. Yes, Satan wants to destroy godly people that are trying to fulfill the call of God on their life. He hates that. You know, when I read this passage and I see where he's talking about Satan wants to sift you as wheat, it reminds me of the passage where Satan asked for permission to attack Job. But when wheat is sifted, the chaff blows away and just the grain remains. So Satan wants to sift him so he can show that there's nothing real to his faith. It'll all just blow away when the trouble comes. But here's the thing. Jesus says, I have prayed for you that your faith won't fail. And he told him. He didn't just pray for him. He told him. He said, Satan wants to sift you. He let him know it's going to be bad. And he says, but I have prayed for you that your faith won't fail. And later, when Peter denied the Lord 3 times, he wept bitterly. He was a broken man. But he had this in his heart and mind. He prayed for me. He prayed for me that my faith wouldn't fail. And you know, there came a day when just as Jesus said, Peter was restored and he strengthened his brethren just as Jesus told him to. It amazes me, you see, we see in this passage where Jesus is talking to him such great faith that Jesus has, of course, that his prayer is going to be answered. He knew that Peter would return and that Peter would become that man of God that would strengthen his brethren. He also knew that Peter was going to first deny him 3 times. And he could have said, you know, Peter, I've wasted 3 years on you. I've invested in you. And good grief, you're just going to blow it all. You ever feel like that with people? But he doesn't say that. He says, I've prayed for you that your faith won't fail. Don't give up. Jesus prays for the disciples in John 17, and I'm just going to give you just a little bit of that. There's a whole lot there, but in John 17, he also includes us in this prayer, as you'll see. But beginning in verse 15, he says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. When it says keep them from the evil one, it's talking about protecting them from the evil one. We're in an ungodly world, and there is an evil one, Satan, who is always working against us. I know some people don't believe in it. Well, you can see his handiwork all around you. Destroyed lives, messed up. I'm just telling you, people blame God for all of that. No, that's the works of Satan. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and he still is through his body, the church. But we just need to understand that Jesus prayed for his disciples, and I believe it's for us as well, as you'll see here in a minute, but that the evil one would not be able to get to us, that we would be protected from the evil one. Verse 16, he says, they are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus prays that they will be sanctified by the truth of the word of God. It is the word of God that cleans us up by the Holy Spirit. I'm just telling you, the word of God, the truth of the word of God shows us how we're supposed to live. It shows us what's wrong in our life, and it helps us to get it right. And Jesus is praying that for the disciples, and he's praying it for us too. Verse 20 says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word that gets us, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. I'm so glad he included us in this prayer too. And Jesus prays for unity. He prays that we will all be one. And you look at the church world today and you're just like, no way. In fact, you can look at most churches and you're just like, no way. You can look at most families and just go, I'm talking about believing families, and just go, no. Yes. You know how? Prayer. Prayer. Not the kind of prayer, selfish prayer, we say, Lord, make them see that I'm right and they're wrong in Jesus' name. Get them, Lord. Good grief. I'm talking about humble prayer where you get before God and you believe God to intervene and you believe God to move and work. You know, the first person that gets changed when you do that, it's always us. It's amazing how God can bring unity. And here's what's at stake. Jesus says that the world will believe that you sent me. Prayer works. And I want to tell you, we need to have a whole lot more of it. And when we pray, well, I got to get this in here. He's still praying for us. Amen. Romans 8:34 is one of the verses that tells us that clearly. Christ, who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. He's still praying for us. Yes, he's praying, but we're supposed to pray too. Yes. Our prayers are powerful. When we pray in Jesus' name, we're not going to God in our goodness or our righteousness. We have the righteousness of God in Christ. And when we pray in that name, Jesus said in John 14:13-14, whatever you ask in my name that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Prayer works. Prayer works. If you ask anything in my name. Now we know you gotta take the word of God with the rest of the word of God. He's not saying that you can just pray all kinds of selfish prayers, just whatever you dream up. Because we know that we have to pray according to the will of God. But if we're praying according to the will of God, and we're asking in his name, and I just want to remind you of this, it's not that you tag your prayers with in Jesus' name. That doesn't really make it in his name. It's not a word thing. It's not a word game. It's that you are praying in his name. You're coming in the name of Jesus. You're coming in that righteousness, washed in that blood. You have access because of his name. But it's not just about tagging your prayer in the name of Jesus. Pray whatever you want and go in the name of Jesus. It's because you come in that name. That's what makes it powerful. And he says, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. You see, we need to get a hold of this and really believe that prayer works. As long as we allow the enemy to talk us out of it, we won't do it. The real reason that people don't pray is not because they're busy or they don't know how. The real reason people don't pray is because they don't think it will work. Because if they think it'll work, oh my goodness, we want to do it all the time. And I want to address this. It just keeps coming to me again and again and again. I want to address this thing about, you know, well, I don't know how to do all that fancy praying. I mean, the Apostle Paul and, you know, brother so-and-so, he's a great prayer. Wow. I mean, we all wish we could pray like AJ. That young man, he prays like a house of fire. You know, I know how he got that. He's told the story before, but it's been a while. There was a time when he would just go walking or jogging for like 2 hours and he would pray the whole time he's doing it. Well, you'll learn how to pray if you do that. Just saying. But here's what I really want to get at. We're not heard by our many words. You don't have to pray like so-and-so. By the way you get better at something's doing it. But I just want you to hear this now. You got to become like a little child. You got to have faith. And I want you to hear this. God hears the prayers of a little child who says, Lord, help Daddy. That's powerful in heaven. So we don't need to have this mindset and this attitude, I'm just not that good a prayer. He hears the prayer of a little child. And you can say, help somebody. We want to see others change. We want the lost to be saved. We want the backslider to come home. We want our enemies to repent. We want our spouse to relent. Sometimes they're the same person. We want our kids to do right. We want our leaders to do right. Amen? Amen. How do we bring about all this change? Pray. Pray. You want to see somebody's life change? Pray, because God is in the life-changing business. You know, trying to change people yourself is like pushing a rope, but God can do it. Battles are won or lost because of prayer or the lack of it. It's the most powerful thing that you will ever do because it brings God's power into that situation you're praying about. We just don't do enough of it. If we knew, I'm telling you, we would just want to pray every chance we get. We'd want to pray without ceasing. I think that might be in the Bible. I'm waiting. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. There it is. Pray without ceasing. Oh, you can't do that. I got to work for a living. I want to tell you something. There are people that send 5,000-6,000 texts a month. 200 a day. 200 texts a day. Just talk to God 200 times a day. You're praying without ceasing. Just 200. You don't even have to have a phone. You don't even have to do all that poking. You can just talk to Him. Just start talking to Him all the time. About everything and everybody. But we need to do a whole lot more praying. And we can. Jesus says in Luke 11:9-10, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. I believe what Jesus says. We need to understand exactly how this is intended. Our English translation, sometimes we lose a little bit of the meaning. You know, we ask one time, we knock one time. We seek for a moment. But in the original text, the verbs that are used here are linear verbs. The Woost Expanded Translation uses as many words as necessary to give the full meaning, and so I just want to read this two verses to you from that translation. It says, I'm saying to you, keep on asking for something to be given, and it shall be given you. Keep on seeking, and you shall find. Keep on reverently knocking and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who keeps on asking for something to be given, keeps on receiving. And he who keeps on seeking keeps on finding. And to the one who keeps on knocking, it shall be opened. Let me tell you when it's time to stop asking. When you know you've received it. When you know that it's already done. Now, that may be because you can see it, or you just know God's put it in your heart. It's done. But you don't stop until then. You don't stop seeking. You don't stop knocking. You don't stop asking. You keep on. I'm telling you, we want this instant Christianity. And God wants our faith and obedience. Keep asking. Keep praying. Most of the time, we just give up way too soon. Paul says in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. I want you to notice a couple of key words here. Praying always. Always. And then he says, with all perseverance. You don't stop. We keep doing it. We just keep praying. We keep praying. It's so important. And sometimes we need to let others know that they're not forgotten, that they matter to us, and that we're lifting them up before the Lord. I really believe there's been times when I was in a great battle and somebody was praying for me. They didn't tell me, but I just, the Lord gave me that I knew somebody was praying for me. But sometimes when we're in the heat of the battle, you know, it can just feel like you're all alone. I know what I'm talking about. Sometimes when you're trying to do the right thing and, you know, it can feel real lonely. But here's what I also know. You see, if we'll do this, oh, it'll add such strength to us individually, but as a body. Oh, it'll just begin, I'm telling you, we'll just learn to do this more and more and more, to encourage one another by praying for one another and letting them know, hey, I'm praying for you. It's powerful. You know, talking about praying for one another, spiritual people, but you know, sometimes people are too carnal, too weak, too bound up, or they might be too sick or too discouraged to fight for themselves. They got to have a brother or sister that stands in the gap to intercede for them and to fight for them. Even when somebody's in disobedience and rebellion, we need to be interceding for them. There's a great example of intercessory prayer in Numbers chapter 14. The Lord said to Moses, how long will this people reject me, and how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them. I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. Then in verse 19, here's Moses says, pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray, according to your greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. Prayer makes a difference. These people didn't deserve it. They didn't deserve God's mercy. And they didn't deserve it from Moses either. They were awful to him. But I think Jesus tells us something about praying for not just our brothers and our loved ones, but even our enemies. We'll get to that in a minute. But we just need to pray more, period. And we need to pray more for other people. And sometimes your answer to your battle is going to come when you're praying for somebody else. That's the way it happened for Job. It was when he prayed for his friends, his no good friends, by the way, they weren't much count. But it was when he prayed for his friends that the Lord restored all that he had. And I'm just telling you, we just need to be a praying people, praying for one another. And it's amazing what God can do if we'll do that. You see, so many powerful examples of the power of prayer in the scripture, like when Peter was imprisoned and they're going to put him to death, but the church prays and God sends an angel to bring Peter out safely. I'm telling you, we just need to realize we are in a battle and prayer makes the difference. And how wonderful it is to know that somebody else is fighting for you. Amen. Praying for others. You know, it doesn't get much recognition. And, you know, we certainly don't want it to be a pride thing. So we don't want recognition. But I'm just saying, you know, when you pray for others, yeah, you may not get much recognition, but I just want you to know that it always pays off. There are going to be souls in heaven that wouldn't be there if we didn't pray. See, you may not feel like it always pays off, but I tell you that when we get to heaven, you'll know. So we pray for the sick. We pray about those that have family problems. We pray for those that are in need. We pray for those that are out of a job. We pray for those that are away from the Lord. We pray the Lord will send laborers into the field. We pray for the lukewarm Christian, the backslidden. We pray for those in ministry or leadership. We pray for those that are in some kind of a battle. We pray for those who have made themselves the enemies of the cross and Christ. We pray for our government and our leaders. We pray, and not every time, but frequently, especially with your brothers and sisters, you tell them, I'm praying for you. It makes the difference. Thomas D. Witt Talmage, who was a famous preacher many years ago, his grandparents went to a revival service under the ministry of Charles Finney. And when they got home, they started praying for the salvation of their children. Their children were going to go off to a party one evening, and before they left, they called them into the room and they said, we want you to remember that while you're away, we're going to be praying for you the whole time for your salvation. The kids go on to the party, and in the midst of the party, they just weren't ever able to get away from the words of their mother that she was praying for them. And so the next day, Talmage said that his grandparents heard someone crying in an adjoining room and found their daughter pleading with God to save her. And out in the barn, her brothers were experiencing a similar conviction. In the wagon house, their son David was praying to God for pardon and mercy. And before long, the entire family was saved, and news spread. The whole region was stirred, and many were converted. All this started, and Talmage was a great preacher. He was the grandson of that mother who said, we're going to be praying for you for your salvation the whole time. Prayer works. And sometimes they need to know that you're praying for them. I read a story about a pilot that was shot down during World War II, and he managed to survive on a small raft, but his food supply ran out, and he had almost given up and lost the will to live. His parents didn't know what had happened to him, but they were praying for him. And when he thought all hope was lost, the Holy Spirit reminded him that there were people praying for him. And that's what got him through. That's what gave him the strength to hang on, was knowing there are people praying for me. There are people praying for you. We need to tell each other. We need to let each other know somebody is praying. Need to let our friends and neighbors and loved ones and co-workers and our enemies. That's right. Matthew 5:44, I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. What do? You pray for them. Pray for them. And sometimes, listen, not to make them mad, sometimes in the right spirit, maybe God would even have you tell them, hey, I'm praying for you. You know they're going through a hard time about something, and you tell them, I'm praying for you about that. Oh, how the walls may just come down. But I'm just telling you, this works. Oh, how we need to do this. We need to be a praying people, and we need to tell others. We need to bless others with this. I'm praying for you. Now, we're going to take a little turn here, and I'm going to wrap this up, but this is real important. I'm going to tell you a big reason why we don't do this. Because a whole lot of the time, we don't really talk to one another about our needs and what we're dealing with. We don't really have the community that we need to have where we can do that. And I just want you to understand that this is a two-way street. We want people to pray for us. Now, yes, we can pray for people even though we don't know anything that's going on, just like those parents prayed for their son who was in the war. But I'm just telling you, if we talk to one another, we tell one another what we're dealing with, we call on one another when we need prayer, Paul did it. Everybody that's stronger than the Apostle Paul, I guess you get a pass. Not really. I'm being sarcastic. Let me just give you a few examples. 1 Thessalonians 5:25, brethren, pray for us. That's pretty blunt, isn't it? Pray for us. 2 Thessalonians 3:1-2, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For not all have faith. In fact, read in Ephesians chapter 6 earlier, and it goes on after he says to pray for all the saints with all perseverance and supplication. He says, and pray for me that I will boldly make known the mystery of the gospel. He asked for prayer and he told them what he was going through a lot of the time. And this is how it's supposed to be. See, we don't fight our battles alone. We talk to one another and we say, hey, I need prayer about this. And we let each other know, I have been praying for you. I'm praying for you. It makes a difference when we do this together like we're supposed to. And I hope that you will pray for your coworkers and tell them, I'm praying for you. I know my wife does this. She talks to our neighbors and stuff, and she says, hey, I'm praying for you. I know that. And I'm just telling you, we all need to be doing this, letting people know I'm praying for you. Not in some kind of super spiritual attitude, but in the attitude of the heart that we care about these people and we're lifting their name before our Heavenly Father. That's powerful. We're not supposed to do this alone, though. We pray for each other. James 5:16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. In the King James, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. Here's the thing. You see, we all have struggles and problems, faults, in areas where we are weak or where we struggle. And what's the answer to that? We pray for one another. We need that kind of community where when we're hurting or we're struggling, we've got a brother or sister that we can call on and say, hey, I need help with this. And we're there for each other. But we pray for one another. Oh, let's start something. Let's start something. Let's spread this. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I know Brother Gary, he does this to people all the time. Let me pray with you. Isn't that right? Yes, sir. We need to do that. We need to pray with people. We need to tell them, I've been praying for you. It makes a difference. Might just be the thing that helps them hang on. Might just be the thing that gets them back in church. I'm praying for you. Let's stand with me. I'm going to let you go.